safely within their homes.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, while Israel's three-month-long martial rampage in Gaza has knocked many other stories of desperation from the news cycle, to be fair, Ethiopia's civil war and the dismal disappointment of the Pretoria Agreement for Tigrayans afterwards was long forgotten, long before October 7th. Salamawit Gebremeskel is an Ethiopian emigre who has lived in Canada for nearly 30 years. Now a healthcare professional in Victoria, she has relatives in Tigray who were caught up in the war the Abe government waged against its civilians and are now suffering the peace accord Addis Ababa fails to honor. Salam and the GVTRRS community invite Victorians to join them February 3rd at the Oddfellows Lodge downtown for a special evening titled Feast to Fight Famine. It's a dinner fundraiser focused on delivering much-needed support to Tigrayan families suffering in the post-war famine. Welcome back to the program, Salam.
Thank you, Lex. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course. Now, Salam, could you provide a little more information on the dinner that you guys are putting on? The long acronym, the Greater Victoria Tigrayan, and I don't know what RRS is. Maybe you can tell
me. It is the Greater Victoria Tigray Refugee Relief Society. Uh-huh. We started that organization after more than 100,000 people migrated to Sudan while the war was happening in Tigray three years ago.
And I can't believe it. I was looking at my files and it's been more than 2.5 years since you and I last spoke. What's going on right now? Because as I say, you know, we're not seeing much more about Ethiopia in the presses here, at least. What's happening right now?
So at this time, that's what we are doing the dinner. At this time, post-war, trauma and famine is widespread in Tigray. People are starving and dying. So we're trying to cook food and fundraise to send a little bit of money to those people who are in need. In Ethiopia right now, the war stopped about a year ago. The Tigrayan government and Abiy signed a peace deal in Pretoria for cessation of hostilities and to give Tigray, to remove most of the Amhara militia and the Ethiopian military out of Tigray, and Tigray to hand in all their military. Some of the agreements were to stop the war and to bring Tigray where it was, to support the people who are affected by the war, how they were before the war. However, that promise hasn't happened. The Eritrean military is still in part of Tigray. The Amhara militia and the Amhara Fano is in the western Tigray. So basically, Tigray is a landlocked under siege. So there is no food going in or like trickling of aid going in. So the people are traumatized by the war. And then now there's a severe drought. People can't farm and feed their children and their elderly. So people are dying.
Well, and it wasn't just in Tigray. The last time we spoke, we talked about tensions with other ethnic groups in different parts of the country. Maybe, Salam, you could describe the architecture of the modern Ethiopian state for people who aren't aware of its composition and the political tensions between different tribal and geographic regions.
So Ethiopia is basically divided into provinces, but in every province there is a different ethnic group, but also a different ethnic group have their own language. So they speak totally different languages, and they're called a different tribe. So in the northern part, that is Eritrea, that is got independence about 30 years ago. Next to it would be Tigray in the northern part of Ethiopia. That is an Amhara ethnic group, there is an Oromo ethnic group, and there are many other small ethnic groups, but the largest ethnic groups are the Oromo, the Amhara, the Tigrayan, the Somali, and there are many. However, because of the division of the ethnic division, and also not having the same language makes you feel more different. So there is a clash between every ethnic group. When the Tigray war happened, the Amhara was with the Ethiopian government, side by side with Abiy. The Eritrean military was side by side with Abiy to attack Tigray, and civilians died in between. 600,000 civilians died. And now the war kind of turned into Amhara region. Once the peace deal was signed with Tigray, the Amhara militia wasn't happy about it. And then they start clashing with the Ethiopian government. So there is war going on in the Amhara region right now. There is war going on in the Oromo region right now, in the Western Oromo region. So it's all over. There's all over unrest at this time.
Well, and Abiy is still the Ethiopian prime minister. The last time we spoke, he hadn't been confirmed in an election. He had been placed into power. He has been elected since, though, right?
He's been elected. However, it wasn't. He basically twist arms and elect himself. Abiy came into power, being put in the power for temporary, but he just caused turmoil everywhere, and just Ethiopia wasn't as it was 30 years ago. Or 3 years ago. It's really, really bad. It's very unsafe. There is ethnic division, ethnic hate, war everywhere, starvation. It's really, really bad.
Now, can you tell me, you make mention of the Pretoria Agreement. This was the peace accord, so-called, signed that stopped the conflict in Tigray between the Tigrayan representatives and the federal government. Why? What is it contained within that agreement, and how is the government of Abiy supposed to be treating the Tigrayan province or the province of Tigray, and how is he and his government failing that agreement?
Oh, so first of all, there are when the Ethiopian government, along with the Amhara militia and the Eritrean government, occupied some parts of the Tigray land or towns, mostly in the western Tigray, there was ethnic cleansing that happened in the western Tigray. So most of the Tigrayans had to move into the eastern part of Tigray. So we have more than 500,000 people as internally displaced people within Eastern Tigray. So one of the points in the agreement was to return the IDPs into where they were, into their homes, that's in the Western Tigray. And some of the Amhara militias and Amhara Fanos or the Amhara elites don't want that part of Tigray. They claim that part of Tigray as their own. And so what they did is cleanse any Tigrayan that live in that area. And then they want to have election happen. In order for the people to elect, though, the people that used to live in the Western Tigray has to return into their homes. So that was one of the agreements, to return the internally displaced people into their homes. So that's one thing that hasn't done. Another thing they didn't do is to get the Eritrean government or Eritrean military to return into their borders. They are still in Tigray land, and they're abusing, causing many human right abuses within the area that they're living right now. They're staying right now. Another thing was to bring Tigray into where it was, like build, like get the medical hospitals, and they're all destroyed. So provide every aid that's required for the people to recover from the trauma. So that hasn't happened.
And what about the international community, Salam? I mean, is the United Nations not providing aid corridors, and countries like the United States and Canada stepping up to?
And that was the promise. Yes, you're right. That was the promise that has happened in the agreement. However, aid, the UN and the World Food Program has halted the aid that was coming into Tigray because of accusations of some people in power stealing the aid that was coming in. So then it was halted since August. The aid was coming to cover maybe 5% of the people who are starving. So that's why people are starving right now. We are trying for the international community, the UN, the World Food Program to resume the aid because it's going to be too late. And Tigray has suffered of famine in the past because it was too late. So we don't want that catastrophe to happen again.
Well, you mentioned that there's widespread drought in the Horn of Africa countries, and now I see flooding on top of that. There's the political process here as well. Is the famine that Tigray is facing now, is it more a political or environmental catastrophe?
It's both. It is a man-made famine that started 3 years ago, putting Tigray under siege, and no aid was going in, and war on top of it. If you starve people, you can dominate them easily. And that's what the Ethiopian government is doing. We don't have to wait for the aid to come in. The country itself could help the people who are in drought. But the government Ethiopia refuses or plays games or makes excuses to support the people in need. In addition, natural disasters always happen in Tigray. There is a locust that happened just before the war. So people were, devastation after devastation. So it is a man-made famine. In addition, also the natural disaster, the nature is also helping.
Well, yeah, and we could, pardon me, argue that Abe has been a disaster, an unnatural disaster from the beginning. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today to Salam Gebremeskel. She is an Ethiopian emigre. She lives in Canada now, but her family is still living in Ethiopia and is subject to the famine and political deprivations in the Tigray region visited upon them by the federal government of Mr. Abe. Salam, it's been nothing but trouble since Abe ascended power. Maybe that trouble is just a normal factor in Ethiopian political life. I don't know, but it seems it just goes from bad to worse. I'm reading headlines now that Mr. Abe has signed a deal with the leaders of the breakaway province from Somaliland to get access to the Red Sea. This is something that landlocked Ethiopia has always strived to do and was perhaps behind its previous war with Eritrea. And maybe was the strange peace deal that Abe signed with Eritrea before the Tigray war began, was that mostly to secure an agreement from Eritrea to get access to the Red Sea? And what happened to the plan to that Eritrea allow that access if it hasn't happened yet, if Abe has to go through Somaliland to in an attempt to get access, which seems like Somalia is upset about too, and might start yet another war.
Of course, I'm not understanding what Abiy is doing. He's just playing games. Just before he signed the agreement with the Somaliland, he was threatening he's going to start a war with Eritrea because they need a port, the Red Sea access, and he was spreading propaganda saying that we're going to go to war with Eritrea. But as you know, 4 years ago, Eritrea and Abiy and Isaias Afwerki were shaking hands. Isaias Afwerki was promising that Ethiopia can have full access to the port. But then they're both dictatorship goals were to first wipe out the people of Tigray or the government of Tigray, accusing, like, you know, because they don't both like the leaders of Tigray at that time, including the civilians, 600,000 people gone now. And Abiy did not keep his promise of wiping out the leaders of Tigray or the people of Tigray. He didn't finish the job that he promised to do. And that's what Isaias wanted also. He wanted the people right in the middle of Eritrea and Ethiopia to be gone because they were, the politics is complex, something that I wouldn't understand or speak to, but we've seen them shaking hands that they promised each other that Abiy is going to get a port. Months after that, the war in Tigray started, and the three of them held hands, including the Somali military, and we witnessed that disastrous genocide in Tigray. But Abiy didn't finish the job, and that's why now the government of Eritrea says, "Oh, you didn't do your promise. I'm not going to give you back my promise." So now they're in square one. But to me, it's all power. They're fighting for power. Nothing else. Not humanity. I don't think they have care for the people of Tigray or people of Eritrea, people of Ethiopia. Nobody cares. What they are caring is for power. The Eritrean government wants power. Abiy wants power, and he doesn't care how many people die, for him to get what he wanted to be. He's stepping in everybody's business and stepping on humanity.
Well, in an article Alex Duvall put up on the BBC, Ethiopia PM Abiy Ahmed eyes Red Sea port in flaming tensions. This from around the anniversary of the war in early November. He says that Ethiopia is abuzz with rumors of a new war. Totally surrounding the Red Sea access. But he also quotes Abiy saying two different things. He says, quote, Ethiopia has never invaded any country and will not do so in the future, while at the same time, he is reported to have told a group of businessmen, quote, we want to get a port by peaceful means, but if that fails, we will use force. It's difficult to know which way Abiy is turning. It perhaps depends on the weather. I'm not sure.
100%. You can't count on him. He says something and he does another. He was just before he started the war, he went to Tigray and promised the people of Tigray peace and prosperity. When he received the speech that he did at the Nobel Peace Prize was amazing speech all about war, against war. But what he does is totally the opposite. So we can't count on him.
Well, there's another issue here, and we spoke about this way back when you and I talked, and I've spoken with Finian Cunningham, the Irish journalist who'd lived in Tigray for many years. and his wife is from there as well, about the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. This is a damming project on the Nile. This was a huge project in Eritrea. Now the Egyptians, this is in the north of the country, they're unhappy about it. What's the progress of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, and how is it affecting relations with Egypt and other neighbors?
It is a problem. Egypt stood up saying that it's going to affect their waterway. Sudan was the same, but Abiy continues to, you know, the dam started more than 10 years ago. He kept saying it's completed. We are filling it slowly, regardless of what Egypt said. Egypt continued to be unhappy with that. So they're not Ethiopia's allies at this time. They're not at the side of Abiy. I don't feel that it might cause war, but I don't think that dam is going to be functional or fully functional. And well, there's drought right now, and so it's hard to fill that dam.
Well, yeah, well, that would be a problem. But then there's floods too. So is it not raining in that region in the north?
In some area, in the Tigray area, it only rained twice over the winter time.
Is there, and Alex Duval also talks about perhaps another war, and he cites Abe arming the Amhara militia, the Fano. Who are the Fano, and what threat do they pose?
So the Fano are an Amhara elite that believes, to me, they're a group of extremists. They believe that Amhara is Ethiopia. No other ethnic groups are Ethiopians, and they have that ethnic group did dominate for many years. The elites, the ethnic group elites believe on running Ethiopia basically, and in the past, the educated, the history about Ethiopia is written by basically the Amhara elites because they were the educated ones. And now they want to continue like that. They believe that Ethiopia, they believe that they are the descendant of Haile Selassie and Menelik. So, not all Amhara people are as are Fanos, but the Fano are a very, very angry group of Amhara. They're working with the Isaias government right now against Abiy.
Well, now lately, Samal, we've seen that. We've seen fighting again in Sudan, and during the war, Tigrayan refugees were seeking refuge in Sudan. You mentioned that the promise of a return to their homes was broken by Addis Ababa and Abiy Ahmed. Are there still Tigrayans in Sudan?
Many. There were more than 100,000 people in the refugee right now, right now as we speak. And they can't return to their homes because that border is closed. That border is occupied by the Amhara Fano and Amhara militia. And if they find any Tigrayan, they either kill them or they can't approach them because they don't want any Tigrayans. They are the ones that are causing the ethnic cleansing in that area because they believe that is an Amhara land, not a Tigray land. So any Tigrayan cannot cross the border. There is trickling of people that, you know, come back to Tigray, but came back to Tigray. But like most of them are in Sudan, and as you know, there's war in Sudan, so it is just suffering after suffering.
And they and Sudan borders Eritrea too. They can't cross through Eritrea. The Eritreans aren't allowing access from Sudan.
No, not at all.
Well, we're fast running out of time, Salam, and it seems as bad as it was in a different way today as when we spoke 2.5 years ago while the war was still hot and underway, and hunger was a huge issue. Could you reiterate, please, before we go, the Feast of Famine details and how people that want to find out more about Ethiopia and what's going on, especially in Tigray, can go about that?
Thank you very much. So we have been, since the war started, my community in Victoria here have been fundraising, supporting people. I did send you a link that people in Tigray, was saying thank you to Victoria, people here for supporting them. We've sent about 20,000 Canadian to support people who are in the main area of famine area. We bought any necessary support to them, food and medicine and other stuff. So this fundraising that's happening on February 3rd at the Odd Fellows Hall in downtown Victoria is basically to raise money and support those people in need. And it's going to be delicious Ethiopian food and a little bit of Sudanese food. You will never be disappointed. It's going to be $40 per plate. It's going to be a buffet and some cultural music. And the funds will be going straight to Tigray to support the people in need. And if you want to buy tickets, you will put the link at the Gorilla website, I believe. Then we can contact through that or on Facebook, some marketplace also.
Well, I've got in your the poster that you sent to me, Feast to Fight Famine, a dinner fundraiser with traditional East African cuisine. It's got a contact at gvtig.ref.relief@gmail.com. But I don't have a website connection.
Oh, we have a website, but it's not functional right now.
So that email is the way that people should get a hold of you, and that's
exactly
okay. Well, I'll attach that in the notes to the show. Thanks a lot, Salam, for coming on again. It's February 3rd at the Odd Fellows down on Douglas at Yates, a very interesting venue. I've been to other events there. Very an amazing little place that you would never even know is there if you didn't end up being there. So that's at the Odd Fellows Hall, or Odd Fellows Lodge, rather. Thanks again, Salam, for coming on, eh?
Thank you so much, Lex. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to let people know what's going on all over the world.
It's my great pleasure, of course, and thanks, too, to Ken Stone. And you can keep up with Ken at the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. Thanks again, Salam.
Thank you so much.
To Palestine, to defend the holy land. If a song could be concrete and put to use to rebuild, if it might turn back the clock, bring back all the babies killed, if a song could be a blueprint, instructions to show us how, if a song could change the world.